Good morning and welcome to Verity Baptist Church for the last Sunday morning service of the year. Come on in and take your seats. Don't be afraid to sit up front. We're going to be singing song number 444 this morning. That's song number 449, Dwelling in Beautiful Land. Let's sing it out on the first. Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from you. Mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Great singing this morning. You guys are off to a great start. We're singing song number 449. Let's sing it out on the second. Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle long the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. None of these shall reach me, 'tis Beulah land. Sing it out. I'm living on the mountain underneath the clouds. Sing it out. Praise God. Praise God. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh, yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah. Amen. On the third, let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered here, protected by God's hand. The sun is always shining here, there's naught can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah. Sing it out. I'm living on the mountain. I'm living on the mountain underneath the... Sing it out. Come on. Praise God. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from the bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah. Amen. You guys are singing wonderful this morning. 449, let's sing it out on the last. Let's finish strong. Don't forget about that. Praise God. The whole congregation, praise God in that chorus, okay? 449 on the fourth. Viewing here the works of God, I sing in contemplation. Hearing now his blessed voice, I see the way he plans. Sing it out. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn a full salvation. Glad we little I tarry in Beulah. One more time. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise the Lord, I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from the bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land. Amen. Great singing this morning.
Amen, and we want to welcome you to this last Sunday morning service here for the year at Verity Baptist Church. We're so glad that you are with us. We have a wonderful service, of course, lined up for you today. We'd like to begin the service with a word of prayer. Let's go ahead and bow our heads together, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. We thank you for allowing us to gather together today. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the time that we have set aside for singing and for preaching, for fellowship. Lord, we pray that you would help us to draw closer to you, to learn from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, you guys are singing so wonderful this morning. We're going to keep it up with The Wonderful Grace of Jesus, song number 210. Grab that hymnal from your chair back. We're going to sing song number 210. Sing it out like you're saved and like you're thankful for the wonderful grace of Jesus this morning. Sing it out, 210, on the first. Give it all you've got. Here we go, on the first. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Sing it out. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Name. That was good, guys. We can do a little bit better. I want to hear it as loud as you can. The whole congregation together on 210. Sing it out on the second. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Come on, sing it out. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Sing it out. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his. One more time on the third. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches. Come on, congregation, sing it out. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Amen. Great singing this morning.
Amen. Well, if you're not awake after that, you're dead. It's good, good spirit here this morning. Let's go ahead and take our bulletins this morning. We'll look at some announcements real quickly. If you do not have a bulletin, just raise your hand and one of our ushers can get one for you. If you need a bulletin, just put your hand up and we will get one for you. The verse this week, Psalm 65:11, thou crownest the year with thy goodness and thy paths drop fatness. And that's a good verse there. We like that. If you open up your bulletin, you'll see our service time, Sunday morning service, 10:30 a.m. And we are glad that you are with us, of course, on Sunday morning on the Lord's Day for church. We do invite you to be back tonight for the evening service at 6 p.m. And the evening service is different than the morning service, different songs that are sung, different sermon that's preached. Just one more opportunity to be in God's house with God's people under the preaching of the Word of God. We call the Sunday night service the most exciting service of the week, and we hope you'll join us tonight, of course, for that. And then we want you to take a notice in the bulletin that our midweek service this week is not on Wednesday night, but on Tuesday night, Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. And this, of course, is because of New Year's Eve. And we just want you to notice that there will be no Wednesday evening service, but it's been moved to Tuesday night. So make a note of that. Soul winning times, our main soul winning time is on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. And we hope that you will join us on Saturday mornings for our big soul winning rally starting the beginning of the year, which is this Saturday. I'm going to be doing some lessons on Saturday morning for probably many weeks, and I want to encourage you to be here for that, especially all of you, but especially you soul winners. So let's make sure we start the year off right with regards to that. We have additional soul winning times on Thursdays and on Sundays at 2 p.m., and we'd love, of course, for you to join us for that. If you look at the announcements and upcoming events, this Tuesday is New Year's Eve, and we're having our New Year's Eve service at 7 p.m. And again, this will be in place of our midweek Wednesday night service. It'll be a service like we normally have, singing, preaching, prayer. And so we want to encourage you to be here for that at 7 p.m. Afterwards, we're also going to have a potluck, so if you'd like to participate in that, please bring a dish to share, and make sure you bring enough, all right? Bring maybe more than you usually would, because we're going to be here till midnight, and I know that some of you like to eat to keep yourselves awake, so you got to make sure you bring enough for everybody, so we'll have a good potluck there. And then after the potluck, we'll have board games, just time of fellowship. If you stay till midnight, we will sing some songs, we'll take some favorites, and then of course we'll pray in the new year. So we want to encourage you to be here for that. If you say, I don't want to stay up till midnight, you can just come to church and leave afterwards or whatever. That's not a problem, but we just want you to be aware of the New Year's Eve service. It's this Tuesday, December 31st at 7 p.m., and that's in place of the Wednesday evening service. And then starting on the 1st, we have our 9 chapters a day challenge. You should have one of these charts there in your bulletin. And January is Bible month here at Verity Baptist Church. And we challenge the entire church family to read the New Testament, the entire New Testament in the month of January. 9 chapters every day in the month of January. If you follow the chart here, you'll notice there's 2 plans. There's a straight through reading, and then there is a split up reading. The benefit of the split up reading is that it's balanced the entire month. The benefit of the straight through reading is that it's a little more difficult at the beginning, because the beginning chapters of the New Testament are longer. It gets easier towards the end, but that allows you to be able to make it go easier as you go along. There are 2 grace period days either way. So we want to encourage you to take this challenge, and if you do this, if you accomplish it, of course you'll read the entire New Testament, and then if you let us know, we'll put your name on a nice plaque, and we've got plaques from every year that we do this. We want to make sure we start the year off right in the Word of God, with the Word of God. So I want to encourage you to take the 9 chapters a day challenge. And then, of course, I want you to know that there's a Spanish service coming up on Saturday, January 11th at 5 p.m., and we want to encourage you to be here for that if you'd like to participate in the Spanish service. There's a wedding coming up for Brother Adam Ritchie and Miss Emily Gessler on Saturday, January 18th at 2:30 p.m., and the entire church family is invited to that. If you are planning on attending, please make sure that you let them know on your communication card so that they can have that number, and it helps them, of course, with the planning. So if you already know you're coming to the wedding, just go ahead and take a moment and fill out the communication card. We'd appreciate your help with that. And then choir practice begins next Sunday, January 5th, at 5 p.m. here in the auditorium. And that's the adult choir, of course. They're going to be practicing for I Love My Church Sunday. So just want you to make a note of that. If you look, there's other announcements there that you can take a look at. If you look at the back of the bulletin, birthdays and anniversaries for the month of December. This week, we have Penelope Pompa's birthday on December 30th. And Miss Diane DiPasquale has a birthday on December 30th. Brother Aiden and Miss Ruby Rolden have an anniversary on December 31st, and Brother John and Miss Irene Reed also have an anniversary on December 31st. Brother Ron Edwards has a birthday on the 1st, and Amira Holland has a birthday on the 2nd, so those are all coming up this week. And then, of course, we just want you to remember that you should have in your bulletin one of these Christmas gifts for Jesus, and we're going to keep this going till the end of the year. So if you've not yet participated in Christmas Gifts for Jesus, you can go ahead and purchase something from this list or use the QR code there to make a special donation. And if you bring something, you can drop it off in the main foyer there, and make sure that you are participating with regards to that. And then I've just got a quick birth announcement, and we want to announce the birth of Magnolia Jeanette Pompa, and she was born on December 24th at 5:51 a.m., weighing 9 pounds, 5 ounces, 21 and a half inches long, and both mother and baby are doing well. And if you'd like to sign up to bring meals for the Pompa family, then you can see my wife after the service. She has a clipboard, and she has everything you need with regards to that. So if you'd like to sign up to bring meals for Miss Laura Beth, please make sure you see her. Praise report, money matters, all of those things are there for you to look at. And then, of course, just real quickly, if you're a first-time guest, if it's your first time here at Verity Baptist Church, we're so glad that you're with us. We have a gift we'd like to give you. As you walk out of the church building this morning, as you go out our main foyer, you'll see a little table set up, and on that table, you'll see these little gift bags. Please grab one on your way out as a gift from us to you for being our guest this morning. There are several resources in this bag that we'd like you to have. The one I'd like to highlight is this documentary that our church made. It's called Being Baptist. It's very well made, very interesting. We think you'll like it, and we want to give this to you as a gift, so please make sure you don't leave her this morning without grabbing one of these gift bags on your way out. And if you are a guest, we'd ask that you'd please take a moment to fill out the communication card, which is inserted in your bulletin. It looks like this. And if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to fill that out, we would appreciate it. If you need a pen, you can raise your hand, and one of our ushers can bring you by a Verity Baptist Church pen. You're welcome, of course, to keep the pen as a gift from us as well. We're not going to do anything odd with your info. We would like to just have a record of your attendance. We actually would like to send you a little gift, but we need your information to do that. So please take a moment to fill the card out. When we're done with the announcements, we're going to sing a song. And when we're done singing, we're going to receive the offering. And as the offering plate goes by, you can drop this card in the offering plate, and or you can hand it to me after the service. I'll be standing at the main door greeting people on the way out, and I hope you'll come by and say hello. So please take a moment to fill that card out. And I think that's it for all of the announcements. So we're going to go ahead and sing the chorus of the week, which is the insert in your bulletin. And we're going to sing, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, as we prepare to receive the offering this morning. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day, singing out on the first.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. Today I walk beside him, he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know
it out on the second.
I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. That is my portion, maybe through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Amen. Good singing. Before the guys come up, just quick reminders that we, of course, are a family-integrated church. What that means is that children and infants are always welcomed in the service. We do not separate children from their parents for any reason. However, we do have mother-baby rooms and daddy rooms available for your convenience. All of the rooms have comfortable seating. They've got monitors set up so you can watch the service and listen to it, or windows. and speakers, of course. So if you have a child that's been distracting during the service, if you need some privacy, we would encourage you to use those rooms as needed. If you're not sure where the rooms are at, you can look at the back of your bulletin. You'll see a layout of our church building. It'll show you where the restrooms are. It'll show you where the mother-baby rooms are, where the daddy room is. Of course, if you need to be baptized, please let us know. We'd love to baptize you. And we actually have 3 baptisms scheduled for this morning. So praise the Lord for that. And if you need to be baptized, let us know. The baptistry is filled. The water's warm. We've got everything you need. If you'd like to speak to somebody about baptism, on your communication card, you can check off that you'd like information about baptism, and we'll follow up with you in regards to that. And of course, if you wouldn't mind, we want to remind you to make sure that your cell phones are off or on silent or vibrate or something like that. Right now would be a good time to just check your phone and make sure it's off so it doesn't go off in the middle of the preaching. We'd appreciate your help with that. We'll go ahead and have the guys come up and help us with the offering at this time, and let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. We thank you for allowing us to gather together today. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. Lord, we ask that you would continue to meet our financial needs here. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless the rest of the service, the preaching, the baptisms. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the services tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. If you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We will read the entire chapter as our custom. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Just keep your hands up and an usher will bring you a Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Bible reads, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost part of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and that thou may livest. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. For this commandment which I commanded thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day and for this church. Please bless Pastor. Please bless the message. Please let it bring glory and honor to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we're there in Deuteronomy chapter number 30 this morning. And I'd like you to look down at verse number 15, Deuteronomy chapter number 30. In verse number 15, the Bible says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil." If you look down at verse number 19, you see a very famous verse, Deuteronomy 30:19. He says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." And of course, today is the last Sunday of the year, and it's the last Sunday morning service that we'll have before the new year. And this morning I'd like to preach on the subject, or maybe I'll just give you the title of the sermon. The title of the sermon is this: A Time to Make a Change. A time to make a change. And of course, when we end a year and begin a new year, this is a good time to consider maybe some changes that we can make in our lives. And the subtitle of the sermon would be this: How to Make the Next Year the Best Year of Your Life. And I want to give you some thoughts in regards to making a change and doing things differently. Change is essential, and it is essential for growth and improvement in our lives. It is a human tendency to want to be against change, and we just naturally always want to keep things the same. But if our lives are going to get better, if we're going to grow, if we're going to improve, we're going to have to change. Sticking to old habits, sticking to old routines can limit our potential, and it can keep us from growing individually, it can keep us from growing organizationally. And we're just going to have to learn to embrace change, and embracing change allows us to adapt to changing circumstances. It allows us to overcome challenges. And of course, we're talking about positive changes. Making positive changes will open the door for us to have a better life. And I want to speak on the subject of time to make a change. I don't want to spend too much time this morning, but I'd like to give you just three thoughts with regards to this idea of making positive changes in our lives, and specifically making positive changes in the new year. And if you're taking notes, I'd like to give you three thoughts. Maybe you can jot these down on the back of your course of the week. Of course, there's a place for you to write down some things, or maybe you have a notebook or something like that, and like you to maybe take notes of these things. First of all, let me say this: change, and that's what we're talking about, making a change, making positive changes in our lives so that the next year can be a better year. The next year can be the best year. The first thing I would say is this: change is a choice. Change is a decision that we have to make. In fact, if you look again there at Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, I want you to notice that God says, I've made these things available. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. God says, you've got options that are before you, both life and death. He says, I have set before you blessing and cursing. He said, these are options that you have for your life. And in fact, God, the wording here, almost God wants to say, look, if you end up not having a good life, if you end up experiencing death, not life, cursing, not blessings, God says, I want to go on record here that it's not because of me. It's not because of my fault. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. He says, I would like to go on the record that this is God speaking to us, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now, you and I might ask the question, and we might say, well, if God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing, if he set these things before us, then why do some people end up with good things and some people end up with bad things? And the reason is because of the choices we make. He says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he says this, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. See, we've got to make the right choice. And change is a choice. When it comes to choices we make, now you're there in Deuteronomy 30. I'd like you, if you would, to go with me to the book of Daniel. That's towards the end of the Old Testament. If you can find the major prophets, those big books of the Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, then you have Ezekiel, and after that you've got the book of Daniel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. And while you turn there, let me just give you some thoughts with regards to this idea of choices. First, let me say this. We are the product of our choices. There is a product of our choices, and it is us. Your current life, my current life, is the product of the choices that we have made. I used to have a youth pastor who would say, you are the sum total of the choices that you have made. And as we finish this year, and as we consider, and I think we should consider our lives, we should consider the fact that wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are in life at this moment, we are the product of the decisions and the choices that we have made. And sometimes we've made choices that we thought were the right choice, and it turns out were the wrong choice. In Proverbs 14, you don't have to turn here, you go to Daniel, but in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, the Bible says this, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And sometimes we make decisions and choices, and we think that we're doing something that's good and beneficial, and it ends up not working well. But we have to remember this, and this is where personal responsibility comes in. You and I have to remember that wherever we find ourselves, wherever we land, wherever we find ourselves in life, we are the product of those choices. And the first thing that we need to realize, if we're going to change the way our life is that change is a choice. It is a decision we make. Darren Hardy, who's an author, a success mentor, he has a quote that I like. He said this, you make your choices, then your choices make you. You make your choices, then your choices make you. He went on to say this, nobody intends to become obese, go through bankruptcy, or get a divorce. But often, if not always, those consequences are the result of a series of small, poor choices. And what you and I need to remember is this, that wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are in life right now, That is a product of the choices that we should make. So you say, well, then what do we do about that? What's the point of knowing that? Well, I think that you and I, and the reason that I would preach a sermon like this the last Sunday of the year is because we should take the end of this year and the beginning of the next year as an opportunity to take inventory. Isn't this something we do anyway during this time of year? We should take this as an opportunity to take inventory and to do an audit of your life and consider the product of the choices that you have made. If you're sitting here this morning and you would say, there are some things that I'm not happy about. There are some things that I'm not satisfied with. There are some things that I think could be better, I wish would be better. We should take some time to consider and take an audit. Now, when it comes to auditing your life, and look, I honestly do believe that if you haven't done it already, over the next several days, especially before the new year begins, you should take some time to look at your life, take some time away from distractions by yourself, or if you're married, maybe you and your spouse together, and go through some categories of your life and ask yourself, how are we doing and how are things going in these areas? When it comes to categories, and of course, there's all sorts of different ways to categorize your life, but there are four ways that I like to teach people to consider the areas of their life. And maybe you'd like to jot these down, but these are things that you should consider. Number one, you ought to consider your faith. You ought to consider your faith. And of course, when we're talking about your faith, we're talking about your faith, not just your faith in God, but your walk with God. Faith is more than just for salvation. Of course, we begin salvation by faith, but then the Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible tells us where to walk by faith. So when we're talking about faith, we're talking about our spiritual life. And you ought to take an audit. How's your faith been this last year? Maybe let's get specific. Not just how's your spirituality, how's your church attendance? How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer? How's your soul winning? How's your serving? How's your giving? You ought to take an audit of your spiritual life and ask yourself, where am I? How am I doing spiritually? Could I be doing better? I know we could all be doing better, but are there areas where, man, I'm just really failing at this thing of Bible reading, or I'm just really failing at this thing of church attendance, or I'm just not doing well, or I'm not doing as well as I used to be? You ought to consider your faith. It's another area that you ought to take an audit of in your life, not only your faith, but your family. Your family. And of course, if you're married, this would include your spouse and your kids. You have to ask yourself, how are things going with my wife? How are things going with your husband? How are things going with your children? If you're not married, then you have to consider your relationship with your parents, with your siblings, with family, and look at your life and ask yourself, how are things going with my faith? How are things going with my family? Here's another area you should audit before the new year begins. It's your finances. Now, audit is actually a financial term for finances. So you might want to actually just do a financial audit of your life and ask yourself, how am I doing financially? And when it comes to your finances, I would say this includes both career and money management. You know, how are you doing? And oftentimes people struggle with finances, and sometimes things are going well financially, and sometimes things are not going well financially. And you should consider, is it time to make a change with my finances? Is it time to make a change with my faith? Do I need to change something up? Do I need to do something different? Do I need to start doing something different with regards to my family? You know, when it comes to finances, and if you're struggling with finances, and sometimes, obviously, at the beginning of the year, people will make resolutions about their finances. You know, when it comes to your finances, really, it's not super complicated. I know you know this, but it's good for us to sometimes simplify these things. When it comes to finances, there's really only two options. You say, I want my finances to get better. Well, there's only two things you can do. You can either increase your income or you can decrease your spending. All right? I know the government doesn't understand that, and the government has all these, you know, Ivy League school graduates that don't understand simple math, but it's not that complicated. You either need to increase your income. You say, well, what do I do? I don't know, get a job? Or maybe you need to get a better job. Maybe you say, well, I can't get, maybe you need to learn a skill. You need to develop a talent. You need to do something. You need to make a change. You need to make, or maybe you say, no, I make a lot of money. It's just the spending. Well, then maybe you need to learn to budget. Maybe you need to learn to save. Maybe you need to learn to get on a budget. But finances is an area. So faith, family, finances, another area for you to audit is fitness. And I would say here, this includes diet and exercise, and it includes just health in general. These are all areas that we should look at and decide, are there some changes that need to be made? Is there a problem in any of these areas? Are there things that are not going well with regards to my faith, with regards to my family, with regards to my finances, with regards to my fitness? Because listen, and look, I realize that personal responsibility is not something that people normally like to take, but you have to get to the place in your life where you stop blaming and stop saying, well, if my boss only paid me more. Well, maybe your boss would pay you better if you were more valuable. Well, if they just didn't, you know, open up that donut shop down the street from me, I wouldn't be so fat. Well, you know, nobody's making you go there. And what I'm saying is this. We have to realize that we are the products of the choices that we make. We are the product. Your current state in life, you think things aren't going well at home. Well, what are the choices that have brought us there? We've got to take responsibility for our own choices. Let me just say this. Also consider this. What are the choices? What are the changes you need to make? It is not productive to dwell upon the choices that your spouse needs to make. Those choices that, you know, well, here are the things that my boss needs to start doing. Here are the things that my kids need to start doing. Here are the things that my pastor needs to start doing. Look, it's not productive to dwell on the changes everybody else. It's funny how we're experts about all the changes that everybody else needs to make. But the problem with being an expert about the changes that everybody else needs to make is that you're not in control of those people. You are only in control of yourself. So why not focus on the changes you can make? See, change is a choice, and we see that there's a product of the choice, and you and I are the product of our choices. Our current life is a product of the choices that we have made. And maybe you need to take the next few days to look at the areas of your life and ask yourself, where am I struggling? Where am I failing? Where are things not going well? So that we can start making a change. Scott Alexander, I'm going to give you several quotes this morning, but Scott Alexander, who's an author of a success book, he said this: you need to get fed up with doing nothing, seeing nothing, and accomplishing nothing. Dave Ramsey, who's a financial expert and radio host, he often says this: you need to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And look, you and I just need to make a decision, and we need to make a choice and realize that we are the product of our choices. So we see that there is the product of our choices, but then let me just say this. Not only is there the product of our choices, that's the bad news, here's the good news, there is power in our choices. You have the power to change your future right now. You say, I don't like how things are going with my finances. I don't like how things are going with my career. I don't like how things are going with my health. I don't like how things are going with my relationships. Well, you have the power. See, you and I have the wonderful privilege to make changes to our lives right now. Because change is a choice. And more than change just being a choice, change is your choice. And it's my choice. We have the power of the choice. In Daniel chapter 1, I'm not sure if you're there, but I'd like you to look down at verse number 8. Daniel chapter number 1 and verse 8. I love this verse. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but Daniel's one of the greatest characters in the Bible, one of the greatest men in the Bible. And here we meet him at a young age, and I think this verse, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, probably gives us the secret to his success. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart. What do you call that? That's a choice. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the princes of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. See, not only are you and I the product of our choices, but we have the power of our choices. And the power of our choice is this, that you and I have the power to change our future right now. Because you have a choice. You understand that? People like to act like, oh, I don't have a choice. It's just the way I am. No, you have a choice. Going to church is a choice. Reading your Bible is a choice.
Whether by January 31st you will be filling out a communication card saying maybe for the first time in your life you had the discipline and the commitment to read the entire New Testament in the month of January, whether you are doing that or whether you're regretting and kicking yourself and saying, man, I wish I would have done that, I wish I would have stuck with it. You say, what will be the difference between the person who accomplishes the goal and the task and the person who's kicking themselves for not doing it? There's only one difference, a choice. Will you purpose in your heart? Going to church is a choice. Reading your Bible is a choice. Spending time in prayer is a choice. Going soul winning is a choice. Serving is a choice. Giving is a choice. You know that being positive? Look, I'm preaching to myself this morning because I tend to be a negative person. You know that being positive about circumstances, about people, about anything is a choice? You know that being nice to your spouse is a choice? No, it's just the way I am. No. Why don't you take some responsibility and just decide you're grumpy and annoying and not fun to be around by choice? You've made the choice. You've made the decision. Being nice to your wife, being nice to your husband, being pleasant in your marriage is a choice. Nitpicking at your husband, ladies, is a choice. Ignoring your wife, gentlemen, is a choice. Spending time with your children is a choice. Not disciplining them properly is a choice. Being mean to them and angry with them is a choice. Loving God is a choice. There's not just some people. Well, some people get this idea. Like, well, some people just love God and some people don't. No, some people choose to love God and some people don't. It's a choice. Making positive changes in your life is a choice. So you say, well, how do I change? Well, number one, you and I need to realize that change is a choice. There is the product of our choices. We are the product of our choices. I'm not trying to beat up on you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but I do think that we need to take some time to analyze and assess and audit our lives and ask ourselves, how are we doing with our faith? How are we doing with our family? How are we doing with our finances? How are we doing with our fitness? And you say, well, I don't like how some of these things are going in my life. Well, here's the thing. There's nothing you can do about the past, but there's lots that you can do about the future. That's why the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. There's the product of our choices and there's the power of our choices. You have the power to change your future right now. But I'd like to say, secondly, this morning, not only is change a choice, but let me say this, change is a challenge. It's a challenge. If you're there in Daniel, I'd like you to go backwards to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 13. You've got, if you're going backwards, you've got Ezekiel, then Lamentations, and then the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 13. Do me a favor, when you get to Jeremiah, put a ribbon or a bookmark or your bulletin or something there, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. And I'd like for you to get there quickly. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. Change is hard. The reason that change is hard is because change often requires us to go against our flesh. See, our flesh and our natural man wants to take the path of least resistance. We want to do the things that come easy, that come naturally, that come conveniently. And isn't it true that the path of least resistance is to, when the option is, get up early with enough time to spend time with God, in the Word of God, in prayer, I can get up 15, 20, 30 minutes early to develop a walk with the Lord, or I could sleep in. Your flesh wants to take the path of least resistance. Your flesh wants to do what comes naturally, what comes easily. Whether the options are go exercise for 30 minutes or sit on the couch and eat chips for 30 minutes, your flesh wants to take the path of least resistance. Whether the options are, I'm going to discipline myself and I'm not going to buy that thing, I'm not going to purchase that thing, I'm going to take some time, I'm going to save up the money, I'm going to pay cash for it, versus I'm just going to put it on a credit card and worry about it later. Your flesh wants to take the path of least resistance. And that makes change difficult. In Jeremiah 13 and verse 23, we find maybe, I don't know, maybe the most discouraging verse in the Bible. Here's what it says, Jeremiah 13, 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? And of course, when we're talking about an Ethiopian, we're talking about an African nation here. We're talking about a black person. And Jeremiah 13, 23 is saying, can a black person change his skin? And it's true of any color. Can a brown person change their skin? Can a white person change their skin? Can a leopard his spots? And of course, the obvious answer to the question is no. You can't change the skin color you're born with, unless you're Michael Jackson or something. But naturally speaking, normally speaking, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? But then notice what he says. He says, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Here's what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah is saying, it would be as easy for you who are accustomed to do evil, who have a habit of doing evil, who have a it would be as simple and as easy for you to stop doing evil and to do good as it would be for a leopard to change his spots, for an individual to change the color of their skin. And you say, well, that's not very encouraging. And the idea is this, that you and I need to understand that change is difficult. Change is hard. It's hard because your flesh wants to go with the path of least resistance. But may I remind you that though an Ethiopian cannot change his skin, and though a leopard cannot change his spots, and according to Jeremiah, that is the equivalent of someone trying to change who's accustomed to do evil and try to do good. You say, well, that's impossible. Yes, it is impossible. But may I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. May I remind you that Paul told the Philippian church, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So though change, look, we need to understand this. Change is a choice and change is a challenge. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Change is difficult. Change is difficult. But let me say this, it is possible. It's possible. You say, how? I don't see how my marriage is falling apart, and I don't see how it could be. Well, look, with men it may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. No, Pastor, if you understood the history of me and my children and the baggage and the chaos and the trauma, you don't understand. There's no hope. Well, listen to me. With men it may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. Pastor, if you understood, at my age, changing careers, and at my age, finding another job, at my age, developing a skill, at my age, learning something new, and getting my finances, and I'm in so much debt already, and I'm so far behind the game, and it's just impossible. Well, listen to me. With man, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Pastor, if you understood, you know, just my health, it's just out of control, and I don't think, look, with men it may be impossible, but do you know that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? Now, change is difficult, but it's possible. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to take this word that none of us like, work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take work. It's going to take discipline and tenacity. It's going to take you getting mad about the fact that the place where you find yourself today is the product of the choices you have made. See, when you and I blame everyone else and blame everything else and say, well, no, it's my parents and no, it's my upbringing and it's where I grew up and it's because of this, because of that. What that allows, when we blame other things, then it allows us to excuse ourselves. It's not my fault because of my wife. It's not my fault because of my husband. It's not my fault because if my children did this, if my boss did this, if my church would just do this. But when you and I take personal responsibility and say, well, I can't control what they do. I can't control what they've said. I can't control the decisions they've made, but I can control the decisions I've made. And when you and I take responsibility, we gain back the control and the power. And yes, with men it may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So we see that change is a challenge. It's going to require effort. It's going to require work. Change is difficult, but it is possible. But let me say this with regards to change. I'd like you to go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. If you start at the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and you go backwards, you've got Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, and then the book of 2nd Peter. Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, 1st John, and then the book of 2nd Peter. 2nd Peter chapter number 3. Change is a challenge. Here are the two words you need to know about this challenge. Effort and expansion. Effort and expansion. It's going to require work. Getting out of debt will require work. Losing weight will require work. Rebuilding relationships will require work. No doubt about it. Change is difficult, but always remember this. It is possible. And if somebody tells you it's impossible, they might be telling the truth. But let's remember that Jesus said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But then I want you to notice this word expansion. Effort and expansion. Effort and expansion. And the word expansion speaks to growth. And here's what I want you to understand. Oftentimes when we are dealing with problems, and one thing that my wife and I do in ministry is deal with problems. And oftentimes we're dealing with people and people's problems and trying to help them. And the idea that people often have, and even myself, I'll catch myself thinking this way, is that when we have a problem, we have this idea that if we can just get past that problem, if we can just get past that problem, then everything will be fine. My finances are not good because of this bill. If it just wasn't for this one bill, and if I can just get past that, if I can just get past this issue, if I can just get past this problem, if I can just get past this conflict, then that will resolve my problems. But what you and I need to understand is this, and I hope that I can communicate this to you, and it is this, that you and I do not get past our problems. We don't get past any problems. But what we can do is we can grow past our problems. See, the reason that something is a problem for you and for me is because it's bigger than we are. It happens to be a bigger bill than what you had in your account. Now, how do I get past this? Don't get past it, grow past it. See, everything in the Christian life is about growth. God deals with the living. The Bible says that God is not the God of the dead, but He is the God of the living. You understand that everything that God deals with is living. We do not deal with a dead book. This is a living book. It's quick and powerful and sharp than a two-edged sword. A church organization is a living organization. And the Christian life is a living life. We are born again. We are quickened and made alive. And you say, well, then what is the goal that God has for us with regards to the Christian life? It is one goal, and it is to grow. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, I want you to notice the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says this, but grow in grace. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We must grow. In 2 Peter and 1 Peter chapter 2, if you flip back, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says this, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, notice these words, that ye may grow thereby. See, what you and I need to do is we need to not try to get past the problems, we need to try to grow past our problems. You say, my business is struggling. I don't have enough income coming in. I'm not making enough sales. I don't have enough jobs. I don't have enough quotes being accepted. What's the answer? The answer is you need to grow. You understand what I'm saying to you? We don't get past our problems. We grow past our problems. Even in a church setting. We don't have enough ushers. What do? Guilt people into ushering. That won't work very long. What do? We just got to grow. We just need to reach more people, disciple more converts, get more people serving and helping. We need more safety team. We just got to grow. The finances aren't good. We got to grow. We need more soul winners. We got to grow. We don't get past our problems. We grow past our problems. It's the same for you. It's the same for me. It's the same for all of us. And what you and I need to focus, you say, what are the goals that I need to have for this coming year? And I'm all for goals. I like goals. In fact, I'll talk about goals here in a minute. But let me just say this. Your goal for the new year ought not necessarily be a goal. Your goal for the new year ought to be to grow. To grow. We don't get past our problems. We grow past our problems. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that ye may grow thereby. Jim Rohn, an author and motivational speaker, he said this, if you want to have more, you need to become more. See, the truth is this, the problems that we have are problems that we have because of our capacity. I wish that the Holy Spirit would help me and that I would have the communication ability to communicate this to you. You say, I keep fighting with my husband. I keep fighting with my wife. We keep clashing and we keep not. Look, the problem is not the conflict. Now, the conflict is a problem, but here's what you need to understand. There's always going to be conflict. There's always going to be problems. You say, well, then how do we deal with it? You need to grow. You need to grow in your ability to communicate. You need to grow in your ability to have patience. You need to grow. It's just, you know, she'll say this, and then I'll say that. He'll trigger me, and then this will happen. No. You need to grow in your ability to control yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You say, well, marriages that don't fight as badly as the ones that do fight, what's the difference? Somebody learned to grow. You're always going to have conflict. You're always going to have disagreements. You're always going to have issues. But if you learn to grow, if you expand in the areas, you say, man, I'm really struggling here. I'm not doing well in this area. You've got to expand. You've got to grow. Jim Rohn said this, don't wish it were easier. Wish you were better. See, Rohn, I wish it was easier. I wish things were easier. No. Don't wish it were easier. Wish you were better. If you want to have more, you need to become more. What is your capacity? What are you able to deal with? What are you able to handle? It's going to require growth. Change is a choice. We are the product of our choices, and we have power in our choices. Change is a challenge. It requires effort, and it requires expansion. It requires work, and it requires growth. You're not going to get past your faith problems. You need to grow past your faith problems. You're not going to get past your family issues. You need to grow past your family issues. You're not going to get past your financial difficulties. You need to grow past your financial difficulties. The only one maybe it doesn't apply to is fitness. That one, maybe you need to stop growing, but that's a different sermon. Let me quickly talk about goals. We like to have goals and New Year's resolutions. Go to Galatians, if you would, Galatians chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. I've taught on the subject of goals a lot. I don't want to spend a lot of time on goals, but let me just give you some thoughts. It is the last Sunday of the year, and maybe you'd like to have some goals. I like the idea of short-term goals. I think the problem sometimes that we have with New Year's resolutions is that we have this like, you know, by this time next year, I'm going to this and I'm going to do that or whatever. And it's just too far away. So I like the idea of short-term goals. And you can have short-term goals however you'd like. You can do it quarterly, weekly, however. I think a good number is a one-month goal. I like the idea of one-month goals. It feels like a month is long enough to kind of get some traction and momentum going, and it's short enough to not lose your attention span. Choose a one-month goal. And you can do whatever you want, obviously, but just some advice that I would give you if you're interested in setting some goals for the new year. I would say this. You ought to choose a one-month goal for each area of your life. A one-month goal for faith. A one-month goal for your family. A one-month goal for your finances. A one-month goal for your fitness. Choose a one-month goal, just something that you can accomplish in 1 month. You say, I don't know, a one-month goal for my faith. Hey, how about this? 9 chapters a day in the month of January. Solved. We just gave it to you. We even gave you a chart. That's a one-month goal for you to invest in your faith, in your walk with the Lord. and look at areas. Maybe it's not that. I mean, I think it should be that, but maybe it's a soul-winning goal. Whatever it might be, have a one-month goal for your faith, one-month goal for your family, one-month goal for your finances. Maybe it's not going to solve all your financial issues, but maybe you have a goal for this month. I'd like to, you know, put X amount of dollars towards my debt. A one-month goal for your fitness, developing a fitness routine or cutting out a certain soda or whatever it might be. Choose a one-month goal for each area of your life. And let me say this. The one-month goal could be a step in a larger 12-month goal. Because look, if your problem is, okay, Pastor, yeah, you're right. My financial problem is a career problem. AI has taken over my job. Well, look, you can sit there and cry about it, and I'm not mocking you. But sitting there and complaining about it and saying, Elon Musk and AI took over my job, you can complain about it all year long, and you might be right and justified or whatever, but at the end of the day, nothing changed. Or you can just decide and say, well, I got to do something different. And maybe... in 1 month, you can't have a new career, but maybe the big goal is I need to get training, I need to develop a skill, I need to go back to school, I need to take some night classes, I need to take an online course, I need to do some. But what's divide that big goal into smaller steps that you can accomplish, that you can start having momentum with. Maybe that 1 month goal could just be a step in a larger 12-month goal, in a larger 5-year goal, whatever it might be. When it comes to your goals, and I've taught this before, but I just want to maybe remind you, make sure that your goals are specific. Okay, it's not enough to say, I'm going to be more spiritual. Who gauges that? I mean, God gauges that, but you know. Be specific. I'm going to stop missing church and skipping out on church. You know, or I'm going to be faithful with my Bible reading. I'm going to pray every day, and I'm going to try, you know, I'm going to mark it. So be specific. Have it be time sensitive. Make sure it's something that you can check off and say, okay, done. I did that this month. Now I've got a new month goal for February. Now I have a new month goal for March. Make sure it's measurable. It's trackable. You've got to measure it. You got to track it, all right? You say, my finances are in disarray. You're going to have to open up your bank statement and start figuring out how much money you're spending at Starbucks and how much money you're spending at McDonald's and how much money you're gonna have to start not get your head out of the sand. You gotta track it, you gotta measure it, and make sure it's written down. And there are all sorts of studies that talk about the power of writing down your goals. There's power in writing things down. And that's one of the reasons we have a communication card, because there's just something powerful about you writing your name and saying, I'm going to read 9 chapters a day. Write it down. Make sure it's specific. Make sure it's time sensitive. Make sure it's measurable and trackable. Make sure it's written down. So we talked about the change and the fact that change is a choice. You're the product of your choices, and you and I have the power in our choices. And we talked about the fact that change is a challenge. And it requires effort, and it requires expansion. It requires work, and it requires growth. We don't get past our problems. We grow past our problems. But then, thirdly, this morning, I'd like to say this. Change is a channel. And what I mean by channel, I mean it's a course. It's a pathway. It's a journey in which we go. See, change is not a point, but it's a process. It's something we do continually. It's something we do regularly. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says this. These are famous verses. I know you know them, but let's just look at them real quickly. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look, this is a promise from God, and this is what I referred to as a law of the universe, not a scientific law. This is a spiritual law of the universe. God says that you will reap what you sow. And the interesting thing about this law of reaping and sowing is that it's amoral. It's not just positive, it's also negative. It's like a law of the universe because it can help you, it can hurt you. Look, gravity is just a scientific law of the universe, and you can use gravity, and we have used gravity to help us, and gravity can also hurt you. And this spiritual law of the universe can both help you or hurt you. Because God says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it works in whatever direction, however you want to deal with it. Verse 8, he says, for he that soweth to his flesh, that's negative, shall reap of the flesh, of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, that's positive, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He says, look, you can sow negative things and reap negative things, or you can sow positive things and you can reap positive things. The thing about sowing and reaping is that it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. In fact, that's why Paul tells the church in Galatia, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. This is within the context of reaping and sowing. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look, that's reminding us of point number one. You and I are the product of the choices we've made. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. The choices you make, the seed you put into the soil of life, you will reap consequences. And you can fake everyone out. You can fake the whole church family thinks one thing of you, and the persona you put out on social media, it's a certain thing. And you got everybody fooled. But listen, you don't have God fooled, because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can mock mom and you can mock dad. You can mock your boss and you can mock your pastor. You can mock your husband and you can mock your wife. But be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And this can work for you or against you. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And it's a waiting game. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This is why I say to you that change is a channel. You and I must develop daily routines or regular routines. John Maxwell, who's a leadership expert and author, he said this: the secret to your success is found in your daily routines. The secret to your success is found in your daily routines. Do you understand that doing one workout session in January is not going to do anything? It's not going to help you in any sort of way. You say, how does exercising work? You got to do it regularly. You've got to sow and sow and sow, and eventually you'll reap and reap and reap. How does getting your finances in order work? You've got to sow and sow and sow. The way that this works is that you, look, the Bible says that the way we grow spiritually is here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You say, how do I get the benefit of Bible reading? You don't get the benefit of Bible reading by just reading one time. You've got to develop a habit where you're reading every day. You're in the Word of God every day. This is one of the reasons why we have the 9 chapters a day challenge, because we're hoping that after 30 days, 31 days of reading your Bible every day, you'll develop a habit of just reading the Bible. We're hoping that if you take the time to read the New Testament in the month of January, then you'll just say, well, let me just keep going and read the Old Testament over the next 11 months. You need to develop a daily routine. It's what we do every day. It's the sowing every day that will cause us to reap. So you need daily routines. Look, you need to have daily routines. Daily routines, and I think your daily routine should include Bible reading. I think your daily routine should include prayer. Your daily routine could include some sort of exercise or walking. You need to have things that you are sowing into on a regular basis, with the understanding that it's not going to happen overnight. Nothing good happens overnight. Look, the only things that grow quickly are weeds. You want your life to be a weed? You want your marriage to be a weed? If you want your marriage, if you want your relationship with your children, if you want your finances and your faith, if you want your life to be a great oak, and it's going to take some time. So you need to develop daily routines. But I would say this, you need to develop regular routines. Regular routines of being faithful to church on a regular basis. And look, I understand that there's holidays and people travel. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just saying, by and large, you need to just have these regular routines of things I do. Investments in my life, things that I do on a regular basis. Having dinner with your family, dinner with your wife, dinner with your children on a regular basis. That's an investment in relationships. Sometimes you miss that, and sometimes you have to work late. We understand that. But have it be something you do regularly. Consistency is the key. Aristotle, who's a Greek philosopher, but even the heathen understand this, he said these words. He says, "We are what we repeatedly do." Darren Hardy said this, "Small, seemingly insignificant steps completed consistently over time will create a radical difference." And look, consistency is the key. Change is not something you do one time. It is a channel. It is a journey. It is something we need to invest in on a regular basis, and you need to develop a plan. You need to develop a routine. You need to develop daily habits, regular routines, and be consistent with it. You say, well, what if I'm consistent with it and then I mess up? Then get back on that horse and start again. Be consistent with those things. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 29, if you would. Back to the book of Jeremiah. The reason that we don't get excited about consistency is because we don't see the results right away. And the fact that we start doing something and we start working towards something and we start investing in something on a regular basis, and then a month goes by or several weeks go by or maybe in several months and you say, I'm not seeing any results. Look, be not weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Consistency is the key. So we talked about change as a choice. We are the product of our lives, and you have the power to change your life right now. Change is a challenge. I'm not going to lie to you. It is difficult, but it is possible. It requires work, and what you should focus on is growth, expansion. We don't get past our problems, we grow past our problems. And change is a channel. You must develop daily habits, daily routines, regular routines. And those routines ought to be things that are investing into the things that you want to reap. Consistency is the key. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, the Bible says this. God said this through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." See, the truth is this, that God wants the best for you. God wants to bless us. God wants to help us. God wants us to live a blessed life, which is why we began there. You don't have to go back there, but in Deuteronomy chapter number 30, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." God wants the best, but it's your choice, and it's my choice. So maybe, as we end this year and begin a new year, maybe it's a time to make a change. Maybe it's a time to assess some things, analyze some things, audit some things, look at some things in your life and decide, you know, I need to change that. It's going to require work. It's going to require effort. It's going to require consistency. It's going to require routine. But if you do it over time, you might find that the next year might possibly be the best year that you've ever experienced. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And we thank you, Lord, for the power to change. The fact that we don't have to be stuck in the habits and the routines, in the sins of the past. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And you have given us the power to change. With men, it may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to make changes where we need to. Help us to adjust where we need to. Help us to realize that we are the product of the choices we've made, and we have the power to change our lives right now. And Lord, I do pray that you would help us, not just individually, but also as a church, help us to make changes and to make choices that will allow the next year to be the best year. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, well, we've got several baptisms this morning. We're going to have Brother Andrew come up and lead us in a song as we prepare for baptism.
And turn to page number 280. We're going to be singing song number 280, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, as we prepare for baptism this morning. Song number 280, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. You guys have been singing well. Continue it on the first. Here we go. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Sing it out. Come home. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. On the second, why should we tarry? Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. You guys have been singing well this morning. Let's sing it on the third with some passion, softly and tenderly, on the third. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing. Good, better. Passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. And he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Amen.
All right, well, we have three baptisms this morning, and two are sisters, and we have Daisy O2 coming for baptism this morning. Daisy, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
All right, Daisy, by your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. All right, and we've got younger sister coming.
Grab my hand. There you go. Step right there. And step right there. And then you want to come all the way over here. You want to stand right there? There you go. Let's get a picture right here. This way.
And we've got Zuri O2 coming for baptism. We love the O2 family. And I especially have a special place in my heart for these girls, because these girls, every time I see them, one of them will say to me, "You're my favorite pastor." And I appreciate them. And that's Daisy who normally says that. But Zuri, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? All right, let's go ahead and have you step down, actually. Step down. I'll help you. Get down there. There you go. Okay, by your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. All right, and we have one more baptism. We have Tavius Jones coming for baptism this morning. Go ahead and step down. Yeah, let's turn around. Let's get a picture over here. All right, go ahead and have a seat. And Tavius, actually, Brother Johnny Cervantes knocked on his door and got him saved. He's been coming to church for a few weeks. I think you have your family with you today.
Yes.
And praise the Lord for that. And Tavius, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
All right, Tavius, by your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. All right, well, thank you very much for being with us this morning. We appreciate you being here for the last Sunday of the year. And just want to remind you of a couple of things. First of all, don't forget that this Tuesday is our New Year's Eve service. So there will be no Wednesday midweek service. We're moving the midweek service to Tuesday, 7 p.m. We'll have a regular service like we normally do, preaching, singing, prayer. And then afterwards, we'll have a potluck. If you'd like to stick around till midnight, we'll be playing board games and fellowshipping. And then at midnight, leading up to midnight, we'll sing some songs and we'll pray in the new year. So we want to encourage you to be here for that, of course, if you'd like to participate with that. And then I want to encourage you to be back next Sunday for the first Sunday of the year. The Bible says that we should seek Him first, seek the kingdom of God first. So let's give Him the first Sunday. Make sure you're here, you're in your place. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. Of course, we want to invite you to be back tonight, 6 p.m. for the evening service, the most exciting service of the week. We'd love for you to join us. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. I'm going to ask Brother Andrew if he wouldn't mind dismissing us with a word of prayer.
All right. Well, as always, if you guys have any questions about salvation, baptism, or church membership, Pastor will be at the door in the back, and he'll be able to answer those questions for you. And let's go ahead and close the service this morning with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, thank you so much for our church, for our pastor, Lord, and for all these people who are here this Sunday morning, Lord, in your house. I pray that you would please bless us as we come and bless us as we go, and please bring us back safely to church tonight for the Sunday evening service. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You guys are all dismissed.